right, I want to say good morning to everybody. How you doing? I want to wish you also a happy Sabbath. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. As everybody knows, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice in it. We should be given glory and honor. We should exalt the day that God had created everything, including us as human beings and as Seventh-day Adventists. I have a message for you, for the church. I hope our friends online, those who will be following us live, and those who will replay the video will find a lesson for their lives as we move toward eternity. We live in extremely grave days, the last days of the earth history. The signs of the time tell us that tremendous events will take place right here in America and all across the world. Pestilences, wars, and rumors of wars of all kinds, famine, riots all over. There will be a lot that nobody can describe, nobody can paint, nobody can paint. It is impossible. So as Seventh-day Adventists, we need to understand these things because they've been predicted. We should be wise enough to act accordingly. The message that I have for you is the Jubilee of the Earth. What is the title of the message? Jubilee of the Earth. This message will have the virtue of preparing the people of God for the true Jubilee. In the Old Testament, God has instituted a period of jubilee for his people that had the virtue of freeing or relieving them from all kind of bonds, and also that gave to the earth a full year of rest. According to Leviticus, jubilee falls on the 50th year after the earth has been worked, after someone has sold himself to another person, after someone has sold his property, and also on the Day of Atonement, which falls on the 10th day of the 7th month of the year. Keep in mind that the Jubilee was celebrated at the culmination of a series of 7-year Sabbaths, image of a weekly 7-day Sabbath Saturday, which gives rest unto human beings, animals, and the earth. The last Jubilee for the earth, according to Revelation, will fall on the 7th millennium since the creation of the earth. This is then the background of the message for today. In this message, we will analyze several verses of the Bible, several quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy, some excerpts from Pope Francis' Season of Creation, addressing the issues of Jubilee, Seventh Day of Rest. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you who have created everything, You ask us to come in your presence every Saturday, and you predict that this day of rest will stay around for the rest of our time and for eternity. We want to be there worshiping you for the whole time that we will be in heaven, 1,000 years, and on the earth forever and ever. Please bless your children here and those online who will follow. Bless those who are sick, particularly the president, those senators, and many others in his surroundings. Give them a quick recovery so that they can get back to what you ask them to do, not what they want to do, but what you ask them to do, and your name might be glorified. Forgive our sins, forgive their sins, give us your Holy Spirit, give them your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I want to recall us that there is nothing that God does, none to intelligent beings, that Satan does not imitate or counterfeit. Remember, the oldest desire of the devil, originated in heaven, was that he would elevate himself as God. He would be like God. So much he wanted to be worshipped. By counterfeiting God, Satan truly gets worshipped. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 to 7, the Lord has given the instructions about the Sabbath year, similar to the weekly Sabbath. One will notice that here in Leviticus, God says, "Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord." That's verse 1. Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. That's Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. If we go back to the end of the days of creation, we may notice God says, "And on the seventh day ended his work." God ended his work. And he rested on the seventh day, and God blessed the seventh day. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. The first difference is that the weekly Sabbath is definite by the article "the" or "the," however you want to say it, whilst the yearly Sabbath is undetermined by the article "a," meaning it can fall any day of the week. The Sabbath day cannot fall except on Saturday, the last day of the week. Therefore, no one will be excused arguing that they did not know which was the Sabbath, or "I worship God any day or every day of the week." Though we need to worship him every day of the week, but the worship that God requires falls on the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. Here it is precise. Here it is clear. Second difference between those two Sabbaths is that the yearly Sabbath has been primarily given for the land to rest, for the earth to rest, whilst the weekly Sabbath has been given to humankind to rest. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for this Sabbath. Mark 2, verse 27. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. I hope that everybody has a Bible, and we will read quite some verses. Not a lot, but Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 says, "And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. That means if you multiply 7 times 7, it will yield what? 49. So 7 years multiplied by 7 years, it's 49. That's the Bible, not me. And that's math. Basic addition or multiplication. This jubilee coincides with the Day of Atonement, which is the Day of Judgment, also the Day of Purification of both people and sanctuary. That is the day that those who have repented of their sins found total forgiveness. So it was an exceeding day of joy and happiness. Verse 9 says, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." And we know that when trumpet sounds, it means something. It means war. It may mean also joy, happiness. In that particular circumstance, it means happiness. Because every people who have been slaved will be completely freed from slavery or from bondage. Everyone who has his land sold will get it back. Whatever you've got prior to the 50th year will be given to you if you sold them out to somebody. And you will have not to pay it back. Even if you didn't have money to pay it, they will have to give it back to you. It was a time of freedom, of liberty. The Day of Atonement. Do you remember, brothers and sisters, that since October 22nd, 1844, began our investigative judgment, the period of purification of both us and heavenly sanctuary, the period of total forgiveness of our sins? This month, October, brings its 176th anniversary since then. We should be glad that finally our sins will be erased from the book of sin in heaven. Amen? Every single sin that we have ever committed, if we have asked God forgiveness for these sins, they will be totally forgiven and erased in the book of sin. But let me recall you, if there is one sin not being confessed, if you have not confessed one sin, just a little sin, the whole sins that you have ever committed in your life will get back to you, and you will be lost forever. That's why I'm asking you now, think about your past life and ask God to forgive you for every single last one of them. Do not ask God to forgive you for your sins or my sins. Ask God for this sin, forgiveness for this sin, for this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin, every single last one of them. If you forget one or many of them, ask him to give you his Holy Spirit to recall you every one of them so that you can confess them. If you confess them with all your heart, you will be forgiven. And at the end of the investigative judgment, all of them will be blotted out from the book of sin. And your name will remain in the book of life forever. You will be saved forever. Amen? That's good news. It's good news. We should be glad that finally we will be acquitted. We should be glad that God will rescue us. Why should we be afraid of the outcome of this day of peace, of joy, happiness, the day that will bring eternal life to us? Many church members are asking themselves, will I pass this test? Will my sin be blotted out from the book? You just need to do one thing, forgive, ask God forgiveness, and the second thing, ask them to give you repentance, not to go back to them. That's the only thing that you need to do. That's why I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, I will be there by God's grace. I will be there. However, Satan is trying to usurp it away from us. He wants us to think just about terrestrial wealth, to spend our time building and rebuilding, projecting, eating, drinking, marrying, buying, and selling. There will be a time that some of us will not be able to buy and sell. So think about not buying and selling anymore. Climate change agenda is one of Satan's best devices to snatch our future away from us. The people behind that agenda are talking about future generations when there will be no more generation after us. They are talking about their children and their children's children when that will never happen. They make a huge deal with climate change. Climate change is talked about in every country, every branch of government, every arts and science branch. People make money with it. Churches are involved in the discussion concerning that subject, which become a theme, which shall bring Sunday law and persecution on God's saints. Who are those that keep the commandments of God and have what? The faith of Jesus. Revelation 14 verse 12. Climate change becomes now more political than many other pertinent and usual topics, because the Pope Francis is the chief orchestra of climate change. The economists and professors in the halls of colleges or universities make of it their talking point, talking subject. I am wondering whether there is not a major in climate change. Now, the Pope and those in the ecumenical movement, including all the churches, I am afraid that some of us are not part of this movement, bring to the forefront another piece of deception called season of creation. What is that season of creation all about? Pope's season of creation. Hear what Pope Francis says to us, all of us, because he's talking about all Christians. I believe we are Christians. I don't know about him, but I know about you. I know about myself. In a letter, this is what he says. Each year, I think this letter came out in August, if I'm not mistaken, I forget. Each year, particularly since the publication of the encyclical Laudato Si, LS 24, May 24, 2015, the first day of September is celebrated by the Christian family as the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation and the beginning of the season of creation. Look, he said, care of creation and the beginning of the season of creation. So that the Pope is talking about a new beginning, which concludes on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi on the 4th of October. Let me call you that he got his name, Francis, from the St. Francis of Assisi. His name is Jorge Mario Bergoglio. His name is not Francis. He got it from St. Francis of Assisi. As a matter of fact, he's not a saint. The saints are those that keep the commandment of God and have the faith of Jesus. Amen? If there is a saint on the earth, it is those that keep the commandments of God. And we are those people keeping the commandments of God. Amen? Don't be afraid. Are you scared? Are you chicken? You're not chicken. The Pope continues to say, during this period, Christians worldwide renew their faith in the God of creation and join in prayer and work for the care of our common home. Common home. I'm very pleased, he says, that the theme chosen by the Ecumenical family for the celebration of the 2020 season of creation is Jubilee for the Earth. The Bible is talking about Jubilee. The Pope is talking about Jubilee. I hope we have time. I hope you have time. Precisely in this year that marks the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. The same thing in Leviticus is borrowed by the Pope. 50th year of Earth Day. In the Holy Scriptures, a jubilee is a sacred time to remember, says the Pope, return, restore, rest, and rejoice. Remember. Man, give me time. By the way, let's go to... We don't have to. He said, a time to remember. He's talking, not me talking. A time to remember. We are invited to remember above all that creation's ultimate destiny is to enter into God's eternal Sabbath. He's talking about the eternal what? Sabbath. The eternal Sabbath, according to him, you will see which eternal Sabbath the Pope is talking about. He said this journey, however, takes place in time, spanning the seventh-day rhythm of the week. He's talking about the seventh day, which is what, according to him, which is what, according to the Bible, which is what, according to us. Do we have the same Sabbath? Is the Pope Seventh-day Adventist or Jew? I don't think so. So which one is he talking about? We will get back to that. He said, the cycle of 7 years and the great Jubilee year that comes at the end of the seven Sabbath year. 7 times 7 equals 49. And 49, at the end of 49, you have the 50th year, which is the Day of Atonement, which is the great Jubilee of the earth. The Pope is borrowed the same terminology, the same feast of the Bible, because he has a new creation. In this short sentence, the Pope is referring to the three Sabbaths promoted in the Bible. The seven-day Sabbath, the seventh year, and the 50th year Jubilee. These people know their Bible. If they do not keep the true Sabbath, it is by design and purposely. If they are lost, it is on them. Not on me, not on God, not anyone on any one of us. because we do our job. Actually, this message is for them as well. The Pope continues, a jubilee is indeed a time of grace to remember creation's original vocation to exist and flourish as a community of love. We exist only in relationships with God the Creator. That's what we're doing right now. After creation, our relationship is reestablished with God by coming here to worship Him. But the Pope says we exist only in relationships with God the Creator, with our brothers and sisters as members of a common family, and with all of God's creatures within our common home, which is the earth, according to him. All right. He said, moreover, everything is related. And we human beings are united as brothers and sisters on a wonderful pilgrimage, woven together by the love God has for each of his creatures, and which also unites us in fond affection with brother sun, sister moon, brother river, and mother earth. That is what? Tell me, what is it all about? Brother sun, sister moon, brother river, and sister on the mother earth. Laudato Si, page 92. A jubilee then is a time of remembrance, continues the potentate, in which we cherish the memory of our interrelational existence. We need constantly to remember that everything is interconnected. Everything is related. Everything is interconnected. And in one instance, he said that coronavirus is connected to Sunday law. Not in this. Unfortunately, I did not have time to come up with all things that would be necessary for you to understand the message. But this is important. Everything is interconnected, and that genuine care for our own lives and our relationships with nature is inseparable from fraternity, justice, and faithfulness to others. Page 70. Talking about common good, here an excerpt from a Catholic website, which is www.vatican.va/Roman Curia Pontifical Councils Just Peace Document. This is what I read. Public authorities. When you talk about public authorities, what are you talking about? Whom are you talking about? Public authorities in America. Tell me, please, you know it. When you talk about public authority in America, you see primarily the three branches of the government: the executive branch, legislative branch, and judiciary branch. The Pope says public authorities have the duty to ensure that for reasons of economic productivity, citizens are not denied time for rest and divine worship. So in this simple sentence, the Pope is advocating Sunday law. He said, let me read for you one more time. Public authorities have the duty to ensure, the duty, that means responsibility. He is summoning them to ensure that for seasons of economic productivity, citizens are not denied time for what? Rest and divine worship. And it talks now to the employers. Employers have an analogous obligation regarding their employees. Christians in respect of religious freedom and of the common good of all should seek to have Sundays and the church's holidays recognized as legal holidays. So what is the Pope talking about here? He's talking about making obligatory or mandatory what? Sunday as a day of work, of rest and worship. So when the Pope is talking about common good, we know what he refers to, Sunday rest by law. In the encyclical Laudato Si, paragraph 237, we read, on Sunday, our participation in the Eucharist has special importance. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Sunday, not Saturday. So, you see, he said in the encyclical, I have it. I have the book, I have the PDF. He said, Sunday like the Jewish Sabbath. That means the same thing that actually it is not the Jewish Sabbath. The Sabbath has been instituted even before the earth was populated. There were just two persons on earth when the Sabbath has been instituted. They were Adam and Eve. So do not tell me the Sabbath as the Jewish, the Sunday as the Jewish Sabbath. It is not so. It is not true. Now it says, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day. If you say it's the first day, come on now. It cannot be seventh day altogether. There are now 2 days. The first is Sunday and the last is Sunday. It cannot happen that way. You have the first day, all the way to the seventh day, and each one of them has a name. The first day of the new creation, whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity, the pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. It also proclaims man's eternal rest in God. The law of weak rest forbade work on the seventh day, so that your acts and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your maid servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Rest opens your eyes, our eyes, to the larger picture and gives us renewed sensitivity to the rights of others. And so the day of rest centered on the Eucharist sheds its light on the whole week and motivates us to greater concern for nature and the poor. Now, remember he says the law of weekly rest. So one more time he's talking in the encyclical of May 2015 that he recalls every time that he talks. He's talking the Paris Agreement. Have you heard about the Paris Agreement? Which was ratified, accepted by Congress. In it, there is Sunday law, the same Sunday law. Whether you take Donald Trump or you take Joe Biden, it's going to be the same thing. Sunday law will be enforced in America very soon. Now, what is Eucharist? According to a source, which is CatholicsComeHome.org, the Catholic doctrine of the real presence is the belief that Jesus Christ is literally, not symbolically, present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That means Eucharist is the true Jesus. The body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist. And he links Eucharist with Sunday law. This is, and they say, Catholics believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist because Jesus tells us this is true in the Bible. I am the bread of life. John 6, verse 48. So as you can see, Eucharist is an idolatrous, blasphemous, and pagan ritual substituting Jesus Christ's body, etc., with the so-called communion in the Catholic Church. How could a Christian believe such a heresy? By the way, the Sabbath Saturday is the only eternal day of rest mentioned in the Bible. Isaiah 62, verses 22 and 23 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that from one moon, new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." So the Pope says, Sunday is the eternal rest of God. I just read it. I go slowly so that you can understand. But according to the Bible, the Bible, the true eternal day of rest of God, according to Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23, it is the Sabbath. As in the sabbatical year, Sister White says, the land shall not be sown or reaped. This is in the Bible, actually. And all that it produced was to be regarded as the rightful property of the poor. Hebrew slaves who did not receive their liberty in the sabbatical year were now set free. So the sabbatical year is a year of freedom and liberty. There is no more remarkable movement of the present day, Sister White says, and no one fraught with more vital consequences to men and nations than the rapidly reviving influence of the papacy in national affairs. The papacy is fast moving into the place of the greatest influence of any earthly organization. Now, how many justices that we have now who are Catholic in the Supreme Court of America? We have 6. How many justices in total? 9. That means Catholics make up how many? 3/3 of the justices. 6 out of 9. And now, Amy, that everybody in the other camp, in the other right side, left, whatever you call it, right people, uplifting her. I don't know her, but she is a Catholic. If she is chosen as the next Supreme Court, it will be 7 out of 9. The ratio is high. Sister White says, let me read over There is no more remarkable movement of the day of the present day, and no one fraught with more vital consequences to men and nations than the rapidly reviving influence of the papacy in national affairs. The papacy is fast moving into the place of the greatest influence of any earthly organization. Great Controversy, 1888, page 686, paragraph 3. And I saw that God, if God had changed the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day, he would have changed the writing of the Sabbath commandment, written on the tables of stone, which are now in the ark in the most holy place of the temple in heaven. And it would read thus, the first day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. But I saw that it read the same as when written on the tables of stone by the finger of God and delivered to Moses on Sinai. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. I saw that the holy Sabbath is and will be the separating wall between the true Israel of God and unbelievers. And that the Sabbath is the great question to unite the hearts of God's dear wedding saints. Stand for, wedding saints. That means people who are aligning with those who keep the Sabbath are gathering together, and those who keep Sunday will gather together, and the Sabbath is the line separating us with the other people. Let me go faster. I need to stop, even though I have much more to cover. You know that the Ten Commandments are in the ark, and the ark is where? In the most holy place where Jesus is interceding in our behalf so that we may find forgiveness and be saved. The day of Jubilee is also, according to Leviticus chapter 25, is the day of the great is the day of atonement, the day of purification. And as I'm talking to you, God is purifying the church. People are sifting out. People are sifting in. People will leave the church. People will get in the church. As I'm talking to you, that is taking place. Let me read a few. In the time of trouble, I saw the sword, Sister White is talking, famine, pestilence, and great confusion in the land. Don't we see confusion right now in the land? Look around. What happens in Rochester? What happened in Chicago? What happened in New York City? What happened in everywhere? Confusion, pestilence, famine. Don't you see many people in line, thousands of people in line, looking for food here in America? The wicked thought that we have brought the judgment upon them, and they rose up and took counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking that then the evil will be stayed. That's why a Sunday law will be enacted very soon here in America. And one of the reasons they believe that we are cause of the pandemic and probably pandemics that will never go away. In the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked, who entered the houses of the saints with a sword. They raised the sword to kill us, but it broke and fell as powerless as a straw. Then we all cried day and night for deliverance, and the cry came up before God. Amen? Then commenced the jubilee, when the land should rest. The true jubilee is the one I'm talking about now. And I'm going to be done. I'm going to be talking about two short jubilee, please. Two short jubilee. The true jubilee and one that has taken place in the dark ages. And I will conclude. Give me just a few minutes, my friends, in Jesus Christ. Sister White says, then commenced the jubilee, when the land should rest. I saw the peace, or the pious slave, rise in triumph and victory and shake off the chains that bound him. That means there will be slave, particularly in the South. Don't you know it? There will be slavery in America one more time, particularly in the South, according to what Sister White says. Not in this text, but I read it many, many times. My family knows about it because we talk about it. I've been talking about it when I was down in Georgia. There will be slavery. And we know things that will be taking place, probably if God allows that to happen, by the day of election. Let me tell you something. Pack up. Store up. Save up. Food. Food. Toilet paper. Paper. Everything that you can store, save, do it. It says, I saw the pious slave rise in triumph and victory and shake off the chains that bound him while his wicked master was in confusion and knew not what to do. For the wicked could not understand the words of the voice of God. I didn't read it. Jesus, I like the message that we preach at Seventh-day Adventists. I like it. They don't know about it. We are the only people knowing about these things. And unfortunately, we don't have 3 hours to preach. Soon appeared a great white cloud. It looked more lovely than ever before. On it sat the Son of Man. At first, we did not see Jesus on the cloud. But as it drew near the earth, we could behold his lovely person. This cloud, when it first appeared, was the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The voice of the Son of God called forth the sleeping saints, clothed with glorious immortality. I expect to see my friend, my best friend who has died this past Thursday. Alice, I really expect to see him. The special resurrection. Do you know that if you die now and you are saved, you will be resurrected in the special resurrection? I'm not talking about this, the first resurrection. Give me hours to talk to my people. The living saints were changed in a moment. It were caught up with them into the cloud's chariot. It looked all over glorious as it rolled upward. On either side of the chariot were wings, and beneath it wheels. And as the chariot rolled upward, the wheels cried, "Holy!" And the wings, as they moved, cried, "Holy!" And the retinue of holy angels around the cloud cried, "Holy! Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the saints in the cloud cried, "Glory, hallelujah." I will be there by God's grace. Who will be there? Let me see your hands. Glory. Wow. So many people will be there. And the chariot whirled upward to the holy city. Jesus threw open the gates of the golden city and let us in. Here we were made welcome, for we had kept the commandments of God and had a right to be there. Last thing. You know, there was a crime made by Catholic Church and the pagan in the French Revolution. You heard about it. There was a night chosen by Catholic Church and friends to kill all Protestants in one day that called Saint Bartholomew. About 38,000 people got killed by them in 3 nights. 38,000 people in one city have been killed by them. And the night after, they call it the Jubilee. The moment of Jubilee. So when the Pope is talking about the day of Jubilee, is he not referring to that? He has killed, Catholic Church has killed about 50 million to 80 million people all across Europe for their faith in Christ. Is the Pope not trying to reiterate or rehearse the same thing, killing people in the last days? You see, Donald Trump has sent his Secretary of State to meet the Pope. He refused to receive him. Why? He said, I don't want to boost Donald Trump. That means he has power over the earth right now. We would say the only person important on the earth right now is the Pope. And this month, he will gather together with all the representatives of the world to summon them, asking them to do certain things. Possibly. Tell me the word. We'll ask them to vote Sunday. Brothers and sisters, let us get ready, get ready, get ready. Let us get ready for two jubilees. The first jubilee is the one that has been instituted by the Pope in the Dark Ages in the French Revolution. The second jubilee is to get ready for the seventh millennium in heaven. We will be in heaven with God and live with Him for 1,000 years, and then we will come back to this earth restored, new, where we will live forever and ever and ever and ever. If thus is your desire, stand to your feet. Let us make a special prayer for all of us and those who are following online and those who will be following online. Let us make a special prayer. Oh God, God Almighty, You have been our teacher in this message, warning us of what will take place here on this earth in our time, not in the next generations, as economists, scientists, the Pope, and many other people are talking about. We know that Jesus is coming soon in the midst of the confusion. Please bless these your people standing to their feet right here before you, committing their lives into your hand and asking you to bless them to the point that one day when the true jubilee comes about, every one of them, including me and those who will follow online, may be among those who will live with you in heaven and in the new earth. Forgive one more time as Jesus is pleading for us in heaven in this day of atonement, beginning in October 22nd, 1844, all the way at the end of the investigative judgment. Bless this church all over the world and this particular church in Elmira. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you, my brothers and my sisters. God bless you.